Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Michael Greywolf. I'm an artist, traveler, all-around geek, a witch, a shaman, a brother initiate, and soon-to-be teacher of the Unnamed Path. And I'm very happy to have you joining us today, Pagans Tonight listeners. Once again, you're listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. On this podcast, we discuss the teachings and techniques given to us by the ancestors and laid out by our late founder, Hyperion. We also touch on topics and ideas pertaining to queer pagan men in general. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you'll be part of the show by calling in at area code 347-308-8222. You can also hang out in the chat room. I know we were having some issues with the chat room earlier in the week, and I believe it's working now. I'm in there. You can also drop us an email at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at walking_theUP. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. Today, I am delighted to welcome back our fellow brother initiate, Cliff Camacho. He's going to be taking Matthew's place as my co-host today. Matthew is, I believe he's at a gig, another one just like last time. So let me bring Cliff on. Oh, wait, wrong tab. Here we go.
Hey, Mike.
You there, Cliff?
I'm here.
Hey.
Hello.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be talking with you today, Cliff. It's been such a long time. Like, such a long time since I've seen you.
It's been a while.
Cliff is one of...
Move.
Yeah, yeah. Cliff is one of the brothers in Texas, where I am from. And I've gotten to hang out with him a few times down in Texas. But, you know, ever since I moved, I have not been able to really hang out with anybody other than... Oh my gosh, I'm Paul. Paul, I got to hang out with Paul in Chicago for
that's fantastic.
Chicago Pagan Pride. Yes, that was fun. I got to hang out with him and his partner. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, you know, welcome back, Cliffy. How have you been? What have you been up to?
Not bad, not bad. I had to get through Renaissance Festival. I was busy running my business and trying to survive that ordeal. And now that that's over, we had our Yule celebration recently, which was a lot of fun. I invited a whole lot of people, and everybody got really drunk, so it all worked out.
Oh, that's always fun.
Did you guys have any major plans for the holidays in your neck of the woods?
Well... let's see. We didn't do a really big thing for Yule. We always plan on doing something, but it always ends up being, we just cook a simple meal. We sit down, relax, and exchange gifts. And that's pretty much what our Yule has been the past couple of years. It's still fun. We still have a good time.
Yeah, and you get to do it with your partner and your friends, so.
Yes, yes. I got my partner a couple of fun party games that he's really wanting to, you know, try out next time we get a bunch of people together.
That's always fun.
Yes. And where did he get me?
I got Billy. Oh. I found in an antique store. I got Billy a microscope from Sears that was made in 1974 in its original box.
Wow.
I thought it was so cool because, you know, he's a scientist. So.
Gosh.
What I love
think,
about Joel and this time of year is it's amazing how much love is in the air. And it's all, I don't know if
yes.
it's because we're programmed with it. I don't know if it's just the way society reacts to it. I don't know if it's just the spirit of Christmas floating around our neighborhoods.
That's true. I mean,
we were talking about it recently, how this time of year, everybody's a little bit happier. Everybody's a little bit kinder.
Yeah, that is very true. I do know, like, for my family, we always paid attention a little bit more whenever we were out and about. If we saw someone who was, you know, down on their luck or something like that, we would always have like some stuff in the car that we could throw together real quick and give them a bag of goodies. Or if we weren't that far from a restaurant, we would swing by and, you know, get a meal and just kind of give it to them.
That's fantastic.
You know, we try to be like that throughout the year, but it's always around this particular time of year that we're more so like that.
Yeah. That love that kind of permeates the air. It's actually one of the things that I've been researching and digging a little deeper into and understanding more, because is it just the family connections? Is it just the memories as children? Is it the whole thing? All of us as a united people in this middle world touching and feeling on it together.
I would say, you know, family does play a big part, and not necessarily, you know, just blood family, but chosen family as well. People who we, you know, share bonds with for, you know, religion or gaming group or whoever you decide is your chosen family, you know, you build a bond and that bond creates love. You know, you love each other, you care about each other, and it just kind of spills out in how you also treat people who aren't part of your little group.
Right. The outside influences, which is, it's just fascinating for us, those of us who walk the unnamed path. I mean, our path is about understanding two basic elements of our emotional being, which is love and fear. And something Hyperion said a lot whenever we were going through our classes and on the episodes that you can find online, he talked about our capacity to love. Mm-hmm. And it's that particular topic that I find interesting and I wanted to discuss with you today. That's why I was hoping we could dig a little deeper into understanding that specific phrase, capacity to love. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from?
Well, for, I would say for myself, from what I understand, from what I can recall from the podcast, from my classes, you know, our capacity to love was rooted in the love that, you know, we as men love other men. And, you know, usually when people think about love, they think about, they don't necessarily think about gay love, lesbian love. They'll think heterosexual love. And usually the fruit of heterosexual love is children or, you know, some sort of procreation.
Right.
And us being gay men or, you know, queer men, bisexual men, That doesn't always happen. So
right.
I would say that, you know, whenever two men love each other or two women love each other, that love turns into energy, and we use that to affect change around us through our different magics.
Well, yeah, that and more is mm-hmm. let's start with the basics. From what we know, when it comes to the idea of our capacity to love, we learned about it first in episode 3, and it's titled God of the Unnamed Path. And in that particular episode, he talks about our unique capacity to love. And he says mm-hmm. it's about God's love is what that means, what that stands for, is God's love, meaning the love between the two gods and how they're connected. And he goes more into describing how God equals love, that God is not distant. He discusses the fact that you are God and that you are interacting with God by interacting with people around us. So in total, the one thing I got most from his discussion on our unique capacity to love is about awareness and how we are aware of our connections, not just our friends or families, but everything and everyone around us, because God mm-hmm. is the middle world. We live and reside mm-hmm. in this middle world. In this particular episode, he also talks about where the fact that we do walk that middle world, we are the third face of God. So he talks about the three different levels where there's the light God, the dark God, and then the third face of God. So I kind of got from the early episode of, you know, episode 3, is that he was making sure that we understood the concept that our unique capacity to love is based on God and our connections to God and our awareness of them. There's only two other episodes where he goes deeper into it, where he talks about this unique capacity to love, and it's in episode 9, and it's Thoughts Are Creative, or Thought Is Creative. And really, in that episode, he goes deep into understanding thyself. That was very important in that particular episode. And it plays back to episode 3, of course, with what we were discussing. Because if you are God, if you are living this existence with God's energy running through you, and you are the embodiment of God in this existence, then understanding thyself, which happens in episode 9, where he's teaching us about thinking, is really important. Because then you learn how you think about yourself and what you think about and things like that, how that matters. And finally, like I said, the last part he really digs into it is in episode 3. I'm sorry, try it again. In episode 10, which is called Love and Fear. And in episode 10, he breaks down how love and how fear works and what they mean and what they stand for. He talks about the different emotions and how they work and with these two lenses, I'll say, of love and fear. He goes into the fact that love is about healing. Love is spiritual energy. It is spiritual in nature. He does bring that up in the conversation. It is about loving places, about connection, and it's about bringing people together in cooperation. So, and with all that, that's everything he actually officially brought up from what I saw. I could be wrong, but from what I saw in the podcast, which isn't a whole lot to go from. That's why I asked the question, what does this mean? Why is it important?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to get ready for the show, I listened to episode 9 and 10. I almost listened to to episode 3, but I did.
Yeah.
I thought 9 and 10 were kind of a good place to start, and started listening to other ones, and you're right that it's those are definitely the two main ones where he was talking about it. I'm trying to think. In episode 10, when he was talking about our capacity to love, he said it's our capacity to love that influences our ability to, heal other people and, heal ourselves. He also said that it ties into the other aspects of the unnamed path also, besides just doing the energy healing. And that was something I was like, how would our capacity to love, tie into death walking or shamanism or magic and prophecy? That's like, well, you have to have great compassion and great love to, work with, when you do death walking, to work with someone who is dying, to work with spirits who are trying to pass on.
Yes.
And with magic and prophecy, that one I got stumped on.
With that particular one, I wouldn't say you have to really, really look at it. With magic and prophecy, it's about connecting to your guides, to your ancestors, mm-hmm. who give you this information, who give you these ideas, who give you these things that you can build off of to create ways to do magic and prophecy. And the only way you can do that is through a loving relationship with those spirits and guides. So that's how it's connected.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not just the energy that we work from. It's not just the river that flows. It's everything around it. That's the key mm-hmm. to this idea of understanding our capacity to love. Those words, our capacity to love. We work through our capacity to love. So with that being said, it's not just what permeates the four different directions of our path. It's not just how we do our energy. It's all of it. It's everything. It's about the, mm-hmm. It's the reason we do shadow work. It's the reason we do the exercises and build connections. It's the reason we have a patron god. It's the reason we focus on this different direction or do this different task. It's that particular phrase and the importance of this particular phrase needs to be something that we as practitioners should always keep in the back of our heads and always remember, because it permeates every single thing we do. Everything. So the things that you want to consider and the things you want to think about when you're digging into this idea, our capacity to love, the things I wanted to bring up and kind of talk a little bit more about. Why does our capacity to love, our capacity to have that love, have that connection, have that drive, why does that matter so much in everyday life? And when you ask that question, you have to start looking at the little things you do and ask yourself, is that coming from there? Or is this coming from somewhere else? Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to face a lot of adversity in life as you're living your life. You're going to see all kinds of things come at you from different directions. And I am the first to say, I do not come from a loving place whenever I'm throwing shade or I'm getting mad at somebody. I'm the first to say, when I'm cussing somebody out for trying to run me off the road, that's not coming from a loving place. But it is something that we need to think about, because our daily interactions with those around us, our daily interactions with our guides and our ancestors, our daily interactions with our emotions and how we react to the world colors everything we do. And it needs to be said. It needs to be reminded. If this is coming from our power, our magic, our connection comes from our capacity to love, then it's very important that we understand how that really does break down.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, when you were saying all that, it was making me think of that podcast episode, because Hyperion was talking about how he gave the example of wanting to find a boyfriend. You know, the energy you put into it will, you know, the energy, the emotions you put into it are going to affect that relationship, whether it's if you're going into it being like, oh my gosh, I need to have a boyfriend. I'm just so desperate. I need to have someone. It's going to, since it's not coming from a desire for companionship of love, I might be saying that wrong. The desire that you're putting into it is going to turn that whatever relationship you get into something that is not loving, not positive.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, my words all.
Well, I mean, and that is just one aspect of it. I get on to, and this comes from before the Unnamed Path, but it's very important to me now as a brother of the Unnamed Path. I would almost slap people for talking negative about themselves in front of me. Mm-hmm. And Brother Chase and other people in our lives can attest to this. If I overheard you saying something negative or something harmful about yourself, I would get in your face. And the reason, and like I said, it for me, it also ties into the Unnamed Path. The reason that's so important is when we go through the episodes where Hyperion is explaining how energy works, he's talking about how our word has power and how our emotional habits have power. So knowing these things and using these things as accesses to your different connections to energy is where it breaks down to. I think it was the episode of energy where I heard it. He breaks down how these different things work. Well, our capacity to love, our ability to love is all tied into all of that as well. And it is so important that you catch yourself when you're saying horrible things about yourself out loud. Because if you put it out there, you make it so. Your words have power. Everything you say, everything you think has power. You need to think that's one of those things that we have to think about as initiates. And it is so important. That's like I'm very hammering this home on this particular issue, but it's very important that we remember this because it colors and affects every single thing you do. And I'm not just saying that we have to be all positive, happy, Glinda the Good, running around casting wonderful wishes. That's not where I'm going this particular idea. But I am saying, know thyself, catch your habitual emotions, and make sure that when you're putting it out there, you're putting the right thing out there. And that's why that particular piece kind of ties into all of it.
You know, I was actually thinking of kind of something like that earlier today, when basically, you know, what we put out into the universe is what, you know, we're projecting it, we're manifesting it.
Yeah.
And, you know, tying into the, you know, the other side of the love, the fear, is like, or, you know, with everything that's going on in our country at the moment, with, you know, everyone is sending out all this fear on, you know, what's going to be happening in the next 4 years when Donald Trump is president. Are we manifesting, you know, all these horrible things that are we're afraid are going to happen?
Yes and no. Now, everyday America is one thing. You know, I can't speak for everyday America. I don't know why everyday America has made the choices they have made. What I can speak from is the men who love men and the gay folk that I'm connected to. And on that aspect of it, there is a lot of fear rolling in the world around us and the spiritual elements around us. And having too much there is problematic in total, in the whole. If we were really trying to do our part to make things better, it's to remind everyone that this too shall pass.
We've weathered other storms,
Donald
we'll weather this one.
Yes, yes. I mean, Donald Trump's not the first president who's stepped on the gay community. And he hasn't even done that yet. It's just the threat of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
We've seen it in the news, and we've seen who he's chosen as the people in charge. And, yeah, it's a little frightening. We haven't gotten there yet, but it's out there. It's a possibility. But like I said, before him, we've had a whole lot more problems from officials that ran our country.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on a pretty face like Ronald Reagan, but in truth, doing nothing for our community. And as a matter of fact, making it worse for our community by what he did do. So, like I said, it's come for, it'll come again. This is just one more storm we have to deal through. And it's a reminder on why we need to stay united and connected and to make sure that we're not allowing these divisions that are being put out there by other people to permeate our lives, because that's not how it works for our community. Our community is about our connections and our ability to communicate and work together. And all of the division out there is kind of driving us to say, okay, well, I'm going to just stay distant. I'm going to stay hidden in my spot. And that's the bad. Really, we know through our power and through our connections, that if it's about love and it's about our connections to love and our capacity to love, then it's always going to come back to that whole, well, love equals community. Love equals working together. Love equals uniting and sharing and being together. Love is spiritual connection and spiritual energy. So if all of these things stand for love, then how do we weather this storm? We hold each other, we come together, and we laugh. And we laugh hard.
That was beautiful. Now, you know, we've been talking about love. And how, you know, we are men who love men. But, you know, I would say quite often in our community, you know, yeah, we need to, you know, try to be coming together and whatnot. But I do say, you know, I do unfortunately see sometimes, you know, the divisions that we put up in our community, then we kind of clash against each other.
Yeah.
You know, we need, where am I trying to go with this? Think.
Well, I mean, there was that. I used to see it a lot in the 90s. I know what you're talking about, where I saw, like, there's some people who say negative stuff about bi people and their stuff, and then everybody's part of the gay community except for these trans people over here. We're not going to include them. Where that was an issue before, I don't see that as much anymore. I see the gay community the GLBT, whatever the acronym is, that's all of us together now, I see our community still coming further and closer together
mm-hmm.
within our community. And we're going to kind of have to right now because that's going to need to be the focus. All of us looking out for each other and taking care of each other. Because if we've got a whole bunch of
entities
running our system, you know, our political processes, it's going to take us staying connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree. You know, we have come a long way, you know, in recent years. But, you know, we can only say that speaking from, you know, cisgendered, you know, gay male perspective. You know, we definitely need to try reaching out more to our brothers who are bisexual, our brothers who are transgendered, and, you know, bringing them, you know, listening to them and getting their perspective on it. Because I would, as a cisgendered man, I would say we are more accepting of our transgendered brothers than some other groups are.
Right, and it took us a little while to figure it all out, of course, because
mm-hmm.
media and society and, you know, how we deal with these particular things and ideas. When we were, 30 years ago, it was all about being hyper-masculine to be a gay man. Or to be a lesbian woman, you had to be hyper-masculine because that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those roles have been broken with this new generation of kids coming through. And I will say, that, you know, we question if things are getting better when it comes to our community. Well, I have a little niece, and she's barely 15, and she's had coming out of the closet has been something that's so easy for her, where I question everything. I mean, I was questioning mm-hmm. everything. Is my parents still going to love me? Is my mom going to love me? I shouldn't have. I should have known better. But I questioned everything at that time because there was so much fear involved with it. And then I see this little girl, and there's no fear involved in it. For her, you know what? Does that make sense? Like, I've talked to her a little bit. I've dug into her head on these ideas, and she wasn't afraid to talk to her parents. She wasn't afraid to talk to her friends about it. She wasn't afraid to talk to her brothers and sisters about it. It's actually who she went to really help her get through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do believe that it is changing and it is getting more normalized, I guess, if you want to add that word into it. But, yeah. Here's one that I was thinking about when it comes to this particular topic is, if our community has always had a hard time really connecting or building those specific relationships outside of our community, is that changing? That would be the question I would ask. Are we relating better to straight people? Are we relating better to those who are more of the norm? I mean, we see it everywhere. We've got our TVs, you know, there's several television programs now where it's the norm. Like, it's actually, that's the name of one of the shows. The New Normal or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe. I honestly, I don't watch TV all that much.
Yeah. With this particular idea of
mm-hmm.
where we're going when it comes to us as men who love men, where we're going as us who are actually focused on the unnamed path. Taking those outside stresses, taking the drama, taking the political issues, taking all of that, the hardest part is setting all of that aside and just floating in that energy. And that would be the one thing that I would suggest to anybody who's working on their energy balance, who's working on trying to find a more cohesive whole to how they connect to energy, to how they work with universal energy, to how they work with earth energy, to how they work with ancestors or spirits. You literally need to go and float in that love. And one of the things I would suggest is you go and you do a meditation, you go to the world tree, and instead of going up and instead of going down, you go to the center of the world tree and you sit and you become one with the tree and you let those branches and those roots spread out from above you and below you and you connect and you just be. Because when you do this type of exercise where you're just, it's you know, the standard world tree meditation where you're doing that world tree meditation, we always go to the next step or we're going over here, we're going over there. I remind you that if you're trying to find that balance, that's one of the best ways to do it. Go and be and connect. And when you take the time to do that, even if it's once a week, you'll start to notice the little things don't piss you off as much. He's just being a little douchebag. Go over there, little douchebag. Have a nice day. You ain't got time to argue. You connect differently. You deal differently. You don't let the things that a selfish, angry person does mess up your day. Your day is too important for that. It's a great way to bring yourself into an emotional balance. And that would be one of the keys that you're going to need to really connect through love.
You know, that was always one of the things that I would kind of do unconsciously whenever I would do my meditations. And, you know, I would spend just so much time just at, you know, in the world tree, just being there, not really aware of what I was doing, but I would always feel so much better after I'd come out of the meditation.
Huh. Something to think about, huh? Something to chew on?
Yeah.
Well, here's another one. Here's another one. Let's say that you're feeling very isolated. And you're wanting to find a way to help yourself feel more connected. Well, one of the things that we do in the Unnamed Path is we do the crossroads. And the crossroads is about what? Reaching the different directions, going up, going down, going in, going out. And then at the very end, what happens? You pull all the energy within you, and then when you release, all that energy releases out and connects to everybody around you.
Yes.
All around the world, right?
Okay. Big circle, yes.
So, in total, how many times have you done, say, the crossroads? If I was to say, here's an estimated guess, I've probably done it about 250 times at this point. So that means I've done this particular meditation 250 times. And if I've done it 250 times, then my brother Chase has done it 400 times or 500 times or 600 times. And then I start thinking about all these different people who have done this meditation. And then I think about all of those crossroads that have opened up all over the world from people doing this meditation, even listeners to this particular broadcast who may not be an initiate but has done this meditation. They've all done the same exact thing. They've all followed the up, down, you know, the different directions, up, down, in, out, energy explosion. So here's the question. If all of these people have done this, and all of these different unique souls have done this, and all of these different people are gods, that means I should be able to tap that wave of energy whenever I need it. Because it's literally a wave of energy that sweeps the world. So it's like a lover's wave that covers the world every time we do that crossroads. So if you're ever isolated, if you're ever feeling alone, you do that meditation and you ride the wave. So instead of coming back, you just ride and you let it take you. In the meditation, you eventually are led to come back. Well, instead of coming back, like when we're doing it so that we can do our work, don't. Just ride the wave. And it is a great way to spiritually, to physically, to energetically feel that connection and be one with that connection of all of us that share this bond. And when you come out of it, you're not as alone.
I will have to try that. You know, talking about all this, I was like, gosh, when was the last time I did the crossroads? I should be doing it on a regular basis, but you get so bogged down with just everyday stuff, you sometimes forget to do the little things.
Well, that's kind of the key. Like, I hear that from several of the brothers over and over again. And whenever I hear it, I always remind myself, well, if somebody else is saying it, then that means I should probably be doing it.
Yeah.
Recently, I was experimenting. There's some of us who have used different things to reach heightened levels when it comes to the work we do energetically, things like that. And I did a crossroads when I was really, really, really connected one day. And I did it, I think it was like last month, but it was fantastic having that movement. And the way I do it now is where before it was all about the words, now it's a dance for me. And I find that that helps by doing my little dance that I do for the crossroads so that I keep it lively and energetic and fun so that I remember to do it constantly. Because I that's one of the things that I'm working on when it comes to my specific homework right now is, yes, I'm working to do my teaching and be able to start teaching the path, but at the same time, I don't want to teach something that I really haven't dug into the meat of that particular bone, you know what I mean? So at this stage of the game, I'm kind of cracking open bones and sucking out the marrow. Especially when it comes to this early stuff. That's why the capacity to love is so important, like really digging into that idea.
You know, when you were talking about, you know, your little dance you do when you do the Raising of the Great Crossroads, it reminded me of our brother Ryan, you know, one of the...
Yeah.
When he was doing his in-person, he was the way he would do the Great Crossroads is very much like a dance. And lately, you know, whenever the times I've, you know, I have thought about the crossroads and, you know, the movements that I go through whenever I do it, it always, you know, brings Tai Chi, like movements and whatnot into my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is very much flowy, like when I would do Tai Chi in the summer at Pagan Spirit Gathering. I was like, okay, this is very much how it's very flowy.
Well, that's how it worked for me. That's how I ended up building this particular rhythm that I do for my crossroads. And for me, it helps. It helps me do it more because it's something I know I need to do every day. It's like... The serpent, star, and heart exercise that we were given. These little exercises that we were given that we started at the very beginning of our journey and the very beginning of our work, they should be part of our everyday lives. And if it's not part of your everyday life, find a way to make it happen because it will help keep you in a good, positive, well-balanced, open, receptive place. It, like I said, for all the brothers who I've heard in the past that have said, you know, I haven't really been focused on stuff lately, that's fine. It's okay. That happens. Sometimes you need to take a step back and focus on reality. And as a friendly reminder, go do a simple meditation that takes 5 minutes. It will help. It'll make things better.
Yes.
I actually found out through NPR with a particular one that I was listening to, they were talking about meditation and how if you do a daily meditation every day, like 10 to 15 minutes a day, your life tends to be less problematic and you tend to be in a happier, more balanced place. And I'm like, okay, here's all these news people talking about this particular idea, yet we've had it in front of us this whole time.
I want to say even Hyperion mentioned that in one of the early podcasts, that it, oh gosh, what did he say? I just was listening to it. Ah, but it was basically what you had just said, what NPR had told you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I forgot this. Because I have a friend who is actually going through a lot of issues at the moment. And, you know, he has started doing, you know, kind of a daily meditation, and it has definitely started to help his mood in what is going on in his life.
Yeah. So. Well, like that's one of the things that we learned from our classwork is when you start feeling like you're going nowhere, when you start feeling like you're down, when you feel like you're not really making changes, when you're not moving in the directions you need to move, look and see why. And something as simple as a daily meditation will make everything better. Take 2 daily meditations and call me in the morning. I think it's, like I said, I think it has to do with that, back to that phrase that we've been discussing today, capacity to love. It's if you're willing to love yourself that much that you'll go and spend time with the gods, then you're able to do whatever you need to do in life because you love yourself so much that you'll take the time to do that. Too much in our life, it is about taking care of other people, doing the work for other people, doing this for somebody else, doing that for somebody else, and ourselves go to the back burner, especially if you're like God devoted or if you're somebody who's really connected to like God work. When you're connected to him, you give and give and give without making sure that you're getting enough in return. And what I've learned is when you do that, you burn yourself out and your fire gets dim. Why? Because you're giving yourself so much that you're leaving very little there left for the self. That's why when you are someone who's going to be doing a lot for others, you take the time to do for yourself every day a little something that celebrates you. Be it a meditation, be it a break where you relax and you go and you spend 15 minutes just focused on self, something. Because when you do, and you do those exercises and you're still giving of yourself, it becomes more of a check and balance. What do we know about magic? If you want to get something done, there's a price. There's always going to be a price if you're going to magically create something or magically do something. You paying that price is part of the work that you're doing. It's part of the energy you're gathering and putting into it. Well, in order to make all of that happen, you have to do all this work to get it set up and prepped and ready. And then you put the self into it to make it happen. Well, that's not going to happen if the self is not in a good, solid, connected, balanced place. That's why it's so key to keep that in mind. So that way, when you go to affect that change, you really affect that change.
Yes. Gosh, I don't know how many times I have done some sort of show or something like that where we always have to talk about self-love because we just don't do it enough. I think on my other podcast, we've done maybe five shows, if not more, where we always have to, you know, we tell people, you know, self-love is very important. You know, you cannot, it's kind of like that phrase, physician, heal thyself.
Yes.
In order for you to, you know, love someone else, in order for you to, you know, affect a change around you, you need to love yourself first.
Agreed. And like I said, when you really look at it, it's so important as to why. Because Hyperion taught us that we are love. We are the essence of love. We are created from love. We are connection of love. At the same time, we got to deal with that fear. I get that. But the fear is not what I am. It's not the whole me. It's the love that's me. The fear is that shadow. The fear is that rejection, is that idea of separation. The fear is not me. It's the reflection of me seen through my own eyes. So that's why when you're dealing with those fears and they're getting in the way, you got to look at to see why, because it's all going to go back to what it is about you, which is love. What we do know from that episode three was that, because love is spiritual, because love is all-encompassing, because love is everything that we are, yes, you do have to recognize both sides of love in yourself, because by recognizing what you're afraid of, you know how to love it and make it better. And by recognizing your true loves, the fears don't hold any controls over you. It's so, like, mind-explosive amazing sometimes when you think about what Hyperion gave us when it comes to the traditions that we were given. Because love, la, la, you know, love and light, and blah, blah, blah. But it's not just that.
No.
It's the fact that you can face those fears so that you can learn to love yourself again. I think that's the best part about our path, is for those of us who do have trauma or drama or things that have happened in their lives and they're a little broken and they need something to connect to, this is great. This is wonderful for you. This path will help you through all those things. At the same time, for those of you that just need to connect and bond and share, yeah, it helps the hardship, but at the same time, it helps the little stuff too. Just being connected, just loving your brother. It's very important, these things, having that bond. It's something that we were missing until we found each other. I didn't know I needed it until I found my connection to the brotherhood.
It was definitely something I was looking for when I found the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I found the Unlined Path, I had been looking for something that resonated with me. I had been looking into, I'd been looking up information on, like, the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, what is it called? Green Man Wicca or something like that. You know, trying to find something that would resonate with me. But, you know, it wasn't until I talked to you at that CMA Beltane that I was like, okay, this is kind of clicking. And then, you know,
I had definitely fallen in love with the gods by the time that we were talking about it.
Yeah. And then, you know, getting in touch with Chase and whatnot and getting started on the path and then meeting as many of the brothers as I did. And I was like, okay, I have definitely found where I need it to be.
I think that we're taught this idea of solitary as being the way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get older, because we all start solitary. Everybody eventually starts solitary. There are some kids who are very lucky to be raised in paganism. And if you're one of them, bless your soul, baby. You are so lucky. As for the rest of us, we all kind of started out solitary. And unfortunately, that idea sticks in our heads. that idea that solitary is the way you do your magic. And that is the one concept I want to beat out of people's heads, because it's not about by yourself. It's not about you and you alone. It's about what you can connect to and share with your tribe. Mm-hmm. Because when you share and when you connect to other people and you share magics together, you grow. You become more than what you were. It takes the outside influence to shape you. It takes someone questioning, hey, why do you do that? Oh, really? That's why you do that? That's fascinating. That's something that they did over in Peru, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know I did that. Well, you wouldn't have known unless you'd taken the time to connect to other people. So the idea of solitary, that's my personal enemy right now. Because learning through the unnamed path, why love can do everything that it can do, has taught me that solitary is a mistake. And I am at my true potential when I am surrounded by my brothers doing our work together.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. You know, being the only brother in my area, I definitely feel like I'm not doing as much as I could be. You know, I'm missing that connection.
Yeah.
Something I'm looking forward to when I move back to Texas, you know, because I want to definitely go down to...
In the end, it's going to take us coming together and saying, hey, we need to do this once a month, because that's probably what would help. That would help some of us outlying brothers who are busy doing our work or living our lives and living very solitary. It would probably help if we did that to make us be a little more connected with each other.
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely want to take like a road trip down to where you and Billy are and, you know, hang out, you know, every so often.
Well, I mean, it's part of the nature of our work. It's part of the nature of who we are as brothers of the Unnamed Path. We crave that connection. We crave that bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we get together, we end up in a dang puppy pile.
Yeah.
I mean, it's naturally, we kind of are driven to that. And it's one of the many side effects of love.
Mm-hmm.
Of that capacity to love. If anything, I hope the listeners take the discussion that we had today and really just take a few moments to think about these ideas. What does it mean? The words, capacity to love. Why is it important? What does it resonate to you in your work and in your path? What I would love to know is anybody who is working and focused on the unnamed path, and any of the initiates or the brothers, or even if you're just listening and you happen to be following the Unnamed Path group and you're kind of digging deeper into the materials that have been given to us by Hyperion and us brothers working through podcasts, where have you seen that connection, that unique capacity to love? Where have you seen that affect your life, and where has it changed your world? I think that's something we should do, Michael, is put that question on the Facebook group or something and see if we can get some answers. See what other people have experienced through this idea of our capacity to love.
Definitely. That you definitely need to do. Well, you know, an hour goes by so fast.
And so quickly.
I have,
especially when we dig into a good topic.
Well, that, and you just have such an amazing voice, Cliffy. It's just, I get lost in it.
All you ladies tonight.
Well, you know, before we go, and you know, you gave us, you know, some good last minute words, and you also gave us a question. Anything else you would like to say to any of the listeners out there?
Yeah. If I was going to say anything else, is the product of us being gay men, the product of the lives that we lead, the product that is the result of what we deal with in everyday life, is the feeling of isolation and alone. And as a reminder, like Michael said back in the 90s, you are not alone. So when you're feeling that isolated, connect. Put on some Michael Jackson and connect, baby. It'll be fine.
Awesome. Now, if any of our listeners who are, you know, we're listening right now or listen to the archived episode, if they want to get in touch with you, how could they do that? Because you're such
Facebook.
An interesting person.
You could definitely catch me through Facebook. I'm on there. The Unnamed Path website, you can find me on there. All it takes is a quick message if you have any questions or if you need anything from me. And like we were, when Hyperion said that we were going to be called to serve, I took that literally. So if any of the listeners are out there and they need someone to talk to, they need someone to connect to, they need a question answered, find me on Facebook. Send me a message. I am here to serve. Blessings, and I love you all.
Yay. Thank you, Cliffy. You know, I think I'm going to play a song to end the show. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to play us out with We Are the Gods of the Pagan Path by Spiral Rhythm. And I will be back and talk to y'all in just a minute.
We are the gods of the pagan folk. 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 We bring you love and we bring you hope. And with the love of the maidens there, we give you the magic chest that's so rare. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We bring you love, we bring you love. And with the love of the maidens there, we give you the magic that's so rare. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We bring you love, we bring you love. And with the love of the maidens there, we give you the magic that's so rare. Jack of the woods in the forest green, lucky playing tricks on the side unseen. Elrond and Sam going night to sun, and playing his flute to the day of time. We are the gods of the pagan folk. The great Osiris, the Lord of the Dead, the Holly and Oak, King James and Caesar. These are the laws that give us the reasons. We are the gods. The dead. These are the gods that rule my head. We pagan folk. We bring you love and we bring you hope. And with the love of the maiden fair, we give you the magic that's oh so rare. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk.
We are the gods of the pagan folk.
That was We Are the Gods of the Pagan Folk. I think I'm so very sorry I messed up the name before. But yeah, that was We Are the Gods of the Pagan Folk by Spiral Rhythm. It's one of my favorite songs from Spiral Rhythm. I believe that was, what album was that? That was their Rise Up album, I believe. But thanks again to Brother Cliff Camacho for being on the show. Again, if you want to get in touch with him, you can find him on Facebook. Just, you know, if you are in the Unnamed Past Facebook group, he's really easy to find in there. Anyways, thank you again for listening to our show. I hope you enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. Listening to Cliffy is such a pleasure. If you'd like to get in touch with myself or Matthew, you can always email us at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Walking the Unnamed Path. We usually try to respond fairly quickly to any messages we get on our Facebook page. And you can also give us a follow on Twitter at walking_theUP. And we should be back. Let's see, when is our next show? No, that's the 7th. Our next show should be the 14th, and Matthew should be back for that show. I feel like I'm spitting. Anyways, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Yule, a Happy whatever you celebrate. Blessings to you all. Now let's see if I can just find the closer. Oh, come on. Here we go. Blessings and goodbye.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witch School's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witch School's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.